Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We are going from Genesis all the way to Revelation, one story at a time. I taught the Bible for 10 years in a school I was at, and taught a chapel class every day. And I had 171 days I had to teach this class. And so what I did was I just started in Genesis, went to Revelation. I said, you know, most people never read their Bible. Most people you meet in your whole lifetime, you meet very few people that have ever read their whole Bible. Well, it's God. That Bible is God, the story of God, what he did, how he did it, why he did it, what happened in the beginning. God doesn't leave us in the dark. He wants his children to know. He wants us to understand. And so he gave us a book. So get you a book and read it. It's really good. By the way, I love the New Living Translation. It's one of my favorite. Now, we've been going to the story of Noah, what happened. And we tell the story about how, you know, God finally told him to build this ark, and, you know, nobody knew what an ark was. What are you going to do with it? And so it's an amazing, amazing story. So we talked about how the flood waters for 40 days and 40 nights, it rained, it grew deeper, and the flood waters covered the earth for 150 days. Then we got down to Genesis 8, and about the flood waters began to recede, you know, and it took almost a year from the time the flood started until they left that boat. So they're in that boat for a year. I mean, them, the animals, the horses, the cows, the monkeys, the skunks, that's all those people, known as family, and all the animals are in that one boat for a year. It's like, boy, I'm about ready to get out. Let's get outside this thing. And so it went incredibly well. And so the Bible says Noah was 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the flood waters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. 2 more months went by, and at last the earth was dry. So verse 15 of Genesis chapter 8, it says, then God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you, you, your wife, your sons, their wives, release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, the small animals that scurry along the ground, so they can be fruitful, multiply throughout the earth. Well, that's almost the same thing God said in Genesis back, you know, when Adam was here. And so, verse 18, so Noah and his wife and their sons and wives left the boat, and a large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. So Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed a burnt offering. The animals and the birds had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood, I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night. Now that's you got to go back in Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Now God said the same thing in the New Testament. God's repeating himself. God promises, you know, in the book of Luke, Jesus was talking about, before I come back, he said, when I come back, people will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, building, and planting. It will be business as usual till Jesus comes back. Are there going to be floods? Oh, yeah, the Bible says there'll be floods and wars and famines and people hating one another, and you're going to need an army. But the earth's not going to disappear. We're not all going to die off. I don't care what the news says. You got to read the Bible. So in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful, multiply. All the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry across the ground, all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. I have given them to you for food. Just as I have given you every grain and vegetable, but you must never eat any meat that still has the lifeblood in it. So I'll require the blood of anyone who takes the life of another person. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. Anyone who takes a human life that will be taken by human hands, for God made human beings in his own image. Now be fruitful, multiply, and repopulate the earth. verse 8. Then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants, and all the animals that were on the boat with you, and the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on the earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then verse 12, God said, I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and all living creatures for generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and all living creatures. Never again will floodwaters destroy all life. God said, never again. Is flood ever going to destroy the earth again? No, God said it's not. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature. Then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I'm confirming with you and all you creatures on the earth. So God made a covenant. He said, what are you going to do? I'm going to preserve everything. So here's some thoughts. I love this. Just, you got to realize it's not just in the Old Testament. God said a lot in the New Testament about what he did with Noah. So if you look here in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Peter 2 verse 5. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Because how do you get faith? You get righteousness. It comes by faith. Just believe it. Well, have you ever seen God? No, but I believe he exists. You ever seen Jesus? No, but I believe he exists. How do you know it's true? The Bible says so. The Bible is God's word. God watched over his word to perform it. Hebrews 11, verse 6, back up a verse, says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, I try to make my kids remember that years ago. It is impossible to please God without faith. How do you please God? You can crawl on your knees, fast for 40 days, shave your head, suck rug. No. It's impossible to please God without faith. What's faith? It's just believing what God said is true. Anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those that sincerely seek him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For God saved you by his grace when you believe. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. You can't say, I just got smart and got saved. No, I only got saved because God pulled on me. God dealt with me. He talked to me in the middle of the night and talked to me in the day when I walked. God is he's the reason I got saved. I didn't get smart one day. I think I'll just get smart and get saved. No, you got saved because God dealt with you, and he pulled on you, and he led you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Now, all these are out of the New Living Translation. Those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only eight people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. Only eight. God repeat this thing over and over. Only eight people were saved during that terrible flood. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. I love it. God repeats himself over and over again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God, the Bible says. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God wants everybody to repent and to be saved, to do what's right. God's looking for the good. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise. The very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it be found to deserve judgment. I like this in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. It says this, when the Son of Man returns, it'll be like it was in Noah's day. And this is the whole thing we're trying to read, share with Noah. Jesus talked about it. He's talking about it. When I come back, Jesus said, it'll be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, people were enjoying banquets, parties, and weddings right up to the time that Noah went in the boat. How long? Right up to Noah went in the boat. Luke 17, verse 26. Luke 17, 26. Jesus is speaking. Here's what he says. When the Son of Man returns, it'll be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time that Noah entered the boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, aside from the flood narrative, you know, and about how they got, Noah did get drunk. One of his daughters got him drunk in Genesis 9, verse 27. We don't know much about Noah's life, but surely the drunkenness was the only instance of impropriety. He was not a perfect man. There were no perfect people. Like us, Noah was born with a sin nature. So the episode about his drunkenness was included in the narrative. God tells everything about everybody. He doesn't hold anything back. That's what I love about the Bible. The episode in his drunkenness was included in the narrative, more like to explain the animosity between the Canaanites and the Israelites. Despite the incident, we do see Noah was revered as one of the few examples of a righteous man in the history of God's people. So, with all this said, who was Noah? Who was Noah in the Bible? Well, practically speaking, Noah is an example of a life of faith. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah. What? By faith Noah. How do you do this? By faith. He's never seen it before. He hadn't read a book about it. He didn't watch a newscast on TV. He just heard God. What are you going to do? I'm doing what God said. How do you know you heard him? I just know. It says this. He was warned about things not yet seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world. Became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Noah didn't need to test God before going on to action. God commanded, Noah obeyed. That's very typical of Noah's life. Noah was a part of the godly line of Seth. It was said, at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. At that time, men became, that's when they started, Genesis 4:26. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Noah was the result of a generation of obedience and faithfulness toward God. If we were to model our lives after Noah, there'd be no better rule to follow than to be righteous and blameless in our generation and to walk with God. In other words, you just need to do what's right. Be right, do right with others, have a reverent spirit and worshipful spirit with God. You can always hear the words of Jesus echoing here when he responds to the Lord's questions regarding the greatest commandment. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And so every generation dealt with it. Every generation had to answer questions about it. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to do what God's telling me. Well, you know, you've heard from God. I just know. And again, you go back and you go through the questions. Have you ever seen God? No. Why do you know he exists? I just know. I believe God exists. You know, he left us, the whole thing about the Bible, and I've said it before so many times, it's the most printed book in the history of mankind, the Word of God. It's the most attacked book that's ever been printed. People have burned it and thrown stuff at it. You know, when they took over Germany, you know, right in World War II, people piled bombs up and burned them, you know, and it's like the devil's always tried to take over, take the authority, take the lead, be the one everybody wants to worship. The devil's jealous of God. That's why he went after Adam. Well, Adam's worshiping God. So throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, anybody goes toward God. The Bible says when the word comes, when the word of God comes, the devil comes immediately to steal that word. How do you attract the devil? Open your Bible. He says, what? Now you open your Bible and read it, and you're going to attract hell. Because hell does not like the word of God. And so what? The thing is, the word of God produces faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't resist the devil. I need the word of God to please God. I need the word of God to resist the devil because it produces faith in me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:10 and 9. Now, it's like you got to get yourself in the Bible. So I tell people, I used to tell my kids, listen, just read a proverb a day. If you read one proverb a day, that's more than 999% of people on this planet. Get your Bible and read it. That word will produce faith in your life, and faith will produce great things in your life. Because without that faith, you're not going to please God, and you want to please God every day. Without that faith that comes forward to God, you cannot resist the devil. It's the only weapon we possess. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, this is our armor, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. I need the word of God to live a successful life. As a man, as a father, as a husband, as a business owner, as a minister, I need the word of God. So I got to be in it on a regular basis because it produces stuff in you. And I'll tell you, once you ever taste it, you'll never go back. So today, you get a minute before you go to sleep at night, find your Bible. You got one somewhere in the house, I guarantee you. Open up to a proverb, you know, whatever the day's date is. You know, if it's the 8th, read Proverbs 8. You know, if it's the 28th, read Proverbs 28. Read a proverb. Just read that. And I promise you, God will use that word. He'll talk to you when you go to sleep. God said he'll talk to us when we go to sleep, when we wake up and walk during the day. God will never leave us nor forsake us, but God watches over his word to perform it, not my word. So when I pray, I need to pray the word of God. God, you promised, you know, and you promised your Bible in Proverbs chapter 3, you promised this. Father, you promised this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is what you promised. I'm quoting you, Father. You watch over this word. You don't watch over my word. You watch over your word in my heart coming out of my mouth. So the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Call those things that be not as though they are. From the beginning of the history of mankind, God's looking for somebody that will trust him. It's always been looking for. So he's not looking for a high IQ, a high GPA. He's looking for faith. Will you trust me? Yes, Father. I will trust you. What a powerful thing that is. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.